Welcome to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom. My pleasure to be studying Sefer Shmuel with you. We are now in a very, very critical chapter, Shmuel Bet Perek Yud Aleph, where the events that whose basis were sort of developed in Perek Yod will now find a third and critical catalyst, which will set some very, very momentous things in motion. Vayehi v'tshuvat ha'shanah. Now we have the cycle of the year, as it were. This evidently is when there was a changing of the guard of the army. Remember that David's army was laying siege to the city of Ammon. They attacked Ammon, they destroyed them, and they, again, set a siege over the city of Rabbah. This seems to be a story that's not assuming our awareness of Perek Yod. David Yoshev Yerushalayim. That phrase alone, that David is in Yerushalayim while his soldiers are elsewhere, sets the tone for what we're going to see. Vayhila Eta Erev. It happened even time. Vayakum David Me'al Mishkavo. He got up from his bed. He couldn't sleep. Perhaps there's good reason he couldn't sleep. His soldiers are out at the front and he's in Yerushalayim. Vaytalech Agag Beit HaMelech. He walked on his roof. Vayar Isha Ruchetzet Me'al Hagag. He saw a woman bathing from above the roof, meaning where he was on the roof, he was able to look down. Now we know that Ir David, the city of David, where David, which is called Ir David, as we saw in Parakeh, is a terraced city, and it stands to reason that the palace of David was in the higher part of the city, so where if he would be on the rooftop, he would be able to look down and see any part of the city. Vaisha Tovat Marem Yod, and this woman who he sees bathing is very beautiful. What should David do at this point? Well, David shouldn't be looking. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that once David sees, he should restrain and do nothing. But Vaishlach David, David sent, meaning he sent messengers, Vaidur Shla Isha, to inquire as to who this woman is. Vayomer, he said, meaning the agent, whoever had the information said, Halozot Bat Sheva Bat Eliam Eshet Uriah Hachiti. Who is this? This is none other than the Bat Sheva, who has double yichus, and it's double yichus within David's army. She's the daughter of Eliam, and she's the wife of Uriah Hachiti. Now, the identity of this Uriah is problematic, and we're going to leave it for the next chapter for reasons that we will get to then. Meaning his identification as a Chiti, and what that means. However, Uriah Hachiti is counted at the end of Perek Chaf Gimel of Shmuel Bet as one of David's chosen 37 army officers, or you might call them his lower generals or his major colonels, and another one of them is Eliam, which would mean that this girl is both the daughter of and wife of army officers. And at this point, we would hope that David would honor his loyalty to his soldiers who are out at the front, and as we'll find out, at least Uriah is out at the front, and would not take advantage of the fact this woman is alone. Vayishlach David malachim. So David sent messengers. Vayikacheha vatavo elav. And he had her taken, and she came to him. Vayishkavima, and he had relations with her. Vihimit kadeshet mitumata. Unclear what this means, whether it means that referring back to her bathing, that her bathing was really going to the mikvah, and she was becoming purified, or whether after coming, being with David, she went to the mikvah, unclear, seems to be the former. And she went back home. In the meantime, as a result of that, she became pregnant. Notice how the power center in this parak changes. In the beginning, it's Vayishlach David, Vayishlach David. David is the one who's in the power position. And now that she is pregnant, she is in the power position, and it's Vatishlach, she sends, and sends a message to David, saying, I am pregnant. Now David has a problem. Vayishlach David al Yoav, shlach elai et Uriah hachiti, shlach Yoav et Uriah el David. So David now sent a message to Yoav, send Uriah back from the front, and as we will see, David's purpose in doing this is that the assumption that Uriah is going to come back on a furlough, that he will go and sleep with his wife, and as a result, when the wife gives birth, it will appear to be the child of none other than her own husband, Uriah. So, although in translated literally, it would be something of an oxymoron, talk about Shlom HaMelchama, nonetheless, Uriah came back, and David immediately had him come to his palace and asked him, how is Yoav? How is the army? How is the war going? And this, of course, is a cover-up to make it appear that David wanted Uriah to come back to give him a first-hand report of the war. And then, and we don't hear the rest of it because, of course, the rest of it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether Uriah said Yoav's fine, Yoav's not fine, the war is going well, not going well. It doesn't matter because it's really a smokescreen. Vayomer David l'Uriah, and then David said to him, Rei deveitcha, go down to your house, and literally down, as we already saw, David's house is higher up. Or chatz reglecha, which literally means wash your feet, but it's a euphemism for go and sleep with your wife. So Uriah left the king's palace, and the entourage of the king followed him. In other words, they're going to see where he's going to go. Vayishkav Uriah, this is a very pregnant word, because the word Vayishkav, of course, in Tanakh means three different things. It means to lay prone, to sleep, and to have relations. What David wanted Uriah to do was to go home and have relations with his wife. Instead, Uriah lay petach beit hamelech. He slept in front of the king's palace at Kol Avdei Adonav, along with all of the other servants of the king. V'le'arad al beito, he didn't go to his house. And here is where the powerful phrase comes out. Vayagidu leDavid leMor. So they told David, Lo'arad Uriah el beito. Evidently, David had sent agents to follow Uriah and see whether he went home. Said David, Uriah did not go home. Now, at this point, I just want to pause and point out a delicious irony in the presentation here. When we set in apposition this scene and the whole issue of going home and lying in bed against Shaul sending messengers to find David, who was supposedly in bed, and then Michal put up the trafim in the bed to make it appear that he was there, and in the meantime he escaped. Here we have the exact opposite. David is sending agents to make sure that Uriah does go to his bed and spare the king, as it were, and Uriah does not go down. So then he got that message. He says to him, it's not right, you've come from the road, you should go and sleep at home. So Uriah said back, Ha'aron, right, the Aaron, the Israel, the Yehuda, the army, Yoshvim Basukot, they are settled in Sukkot. Sukkot is out in the field, it's at Tel Dir Allah near the Yabok. And my master, my boss, Yoav, and all of his other servants, and all of the other officers, and all the other soldiers, are camping at the field. Should I come home to my own house and eat and drink and sleep with my wife? By your life and the life of your soul, he's taking an oath by the life of the king that I would not do such a thing. As we mentioned earlier, that's how an oath is taken in Tanakh, that you take the oath and then invert what the thing that you're not going to do. But notice what Uriah says. The Aaron, the soldiers, Yoav, they're all out in the field. How could I luxuriate, go home and eat and drink, be pampered and spend and be with my wife when they're all out there? I am loyal to them. And of course, underneath that whole thing is, plus, how can I go home and lie with my wife? That's what you've been doing. Vayomer David al Uriah, Shev bazeh gam hayom. And David said to Uriah, stay here one more day. I'll send you back tomorrow. So David, Uriah stayed for another day. And so David brought him to his house, and he fed him. And by the way, this is not all that untoward, because again, Uriah was one of his chief officers, and he got him drunk. Again, he went to sleep in the same place, in front of the king's palace. So what David did is he had a book, a scroll written for Uriah as a message to be given to Yoav. And what is Uriah carrying in his hands? A message that says, "Vayichtov b'sefer l'mor, havu et Uriah amul pnei hamilchama." Put Uriah right in front of the combat. And then everybody retreat and allow him to be killed. Now, if you're Yoav, what do you think about this when you get the message? For Yoav to get a message that David wants Uriah back in Yerushalayim, that could be. He wants to consult one of his officers. Maybe. But when Uriah comes back with a message that David wants Uriah to be blindsided and to be set up to die at the front, and all of the other soldiers retreat, Yoav must understand that there is something else going on, that in some way the king wants Uriah killed, whether it's because Uriah has fallen into disfavor, whether it's because Uriah has fallen into his favor, or there's something else going on. We will find out that Yoav is quite sharp in this regard. So now we go back to Ammon. Now, parenthetically, it's important to note, and you can note this at the end of the parak, that traditionally we have a great difficulty with this parsha, basically because we see David in generally glowing terms, and there is really nothing about this story that is positive about David, not the original act, not the attempted cover-up, and certainly not this, to have Uriah killed. It's something that is discussed, and there's much literature on it. And at the end of the sugya, which will be at the end of the next chapter, I will suggest some readings for those people who are interested in following up and seeing how rabbinic tradition deals with this. But this is a Nach class, and as such, we are studying the chapter, the text, as it reads. Parenthetically, though, on that last note, at the end of Perek Yud Bet, when the entire episode is, at least this part of the episode is over, I will briefly sketch the different approaches that have been taken traditionally to understanding David's behavior. As Yoav was guarding the city of Ammon, he put Uriah exactly where he knew that there were soldiers. So the people of Ammon came out. This seemed to be a regular thing. They had regular skirmishes. So some men fell, and so did Uriah, which, by the way, means that now there are other soldiers who are dying just to get Uriah killed as part of the entire thing that started with Bathsheba. But let's remember, it didn't start with Bathsheba. It started with David not being out at the front. Why is there a front? Because David attempted to make peace or to show a positive overture towards Ammon, and the Torah warned against that. This is the direction taken by the Sifri in Sefer Dvarim. And so now Yoav sent a message to David about what was going on in the war. And he sent a message saying, once you give David all of the words about this battle, and you present to him all of the information, if the king gets angry, why did you go up to fight against the city? You know what people throw down from the walls of the city. In other words, evidently Uriah had died and these other men had died when they poured down, whether it was arrows or stones or whatever it was. And David, we think, might say, Mihikat Avimelech ben Yerubeshet. Who is it that had killed Avimelech, the son of Gidon, who is called Yerubal, but in Sefer Shmuel, that's changed to Yerubeshet. Halo isha hishlicha alav pelach rechev me'alachoma. After all, a woman threw down a millstone from above the city of Tevetz, Vayamah b'Tevetz. Lama nigashtem alachoma. So why did you go up against the wall? In other words, if David attacks the battle plan and said, why did you go on the suicide mission? Everybody in the world knows that this will get you killed. Then you'll tell the king that Uriah also died, which means, by the way, Yoav understands, because he got the note, that the main thing was for Uriah to die. But now the messenger will understand that the news that Uriah also died will not be something that's going to make the king more upset, but rather is going to mollify him. In any case, what happens? The text tells us that only to tell us how much Yoav understands of what's going on and how sharp Yoav is, which is going to come out in a very different way in Perek Yud Daled, but how sharp Yoav is in manipulating characters that he sends to the king and to expose different pieces of information. So the king, the messenger came and told the king everything Yoav told him. So he said to the king, so here's what happened. They came out to us against in the field, meaning the people of Ammon came out, and they came out to the battlefield, and we backed them up all the way back to their gates. And the archers shot things, evidently arrows, at your servants. So the messenger is even sharper. He doesn't just present the thing waiting to tell him about Uriah. He beats him to it. He says, and a lot of your kings, your servants died, meaning your soldiers died, and also Uriah Chiti died. And he waits to see what David says. Go tell Yoav, don't be worried, don't feel bad about this lost battle. The sword devours this one and that one. In other words, soldiers die. It's part of war. Now be strong and go against the city and destroy it and take it over. And that's David's reaction to the death of Uriah. Vatishma ishet Uriah kimet Uriah isham vatispor ba'ala. So the wife of Uriah, which by, instead of saying Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, the text is making a point. This is the wife of Uriah. She hears that her husband has died. Vatispod. Remember, the word hesped in rabbinic Hebrew means eulogy, and that's how it's used in modern Hebrew. In Tanakh, it means to mourn. So she mourned for her husband. Vayavor ha'evel, and the mourning period passed. Vayishlach David vayasfa el beto. And David went and brought her into his house. Which, by the way, from the public perception, is a beautiful act. Because here one of his soldiers has died, and he's left a widow, and David takes the widow into his household. Tilo lisha. Vatela do ben. But the text tells us, we know who this child is. The child is David's child. Vayera devar shasa David bein Adonai, and this was very, very bad in God's eyes, what David had done, and which will lead us to the next parak. We will see God's chastisement of David through the agency of Natan Hanavi. Again, as I mentioned, this particular parsha, this incident, is very, very troubling, really, to anybody who reveres biblical characters and who understands the greatness of biblical characters, and specifically David, who, from one perspective, is the central character in all of Tanakh, and certainly, I say that carefully, not in Torah, but in Tanakh, the best example of this is to take a look at Divrei Hayamim. The whole Tanakh revolves in one way or another around the character of David, his ancestors and his descendants. And David, as the composer of many of the Tehillim, and according to some opinions, the anthologizer of Tehillim, who had other prophecies, who is the monarch whose name sits with all of the monarchs of Yehuda. We even pray for the arrival of Mashiach ben David. And nonetheless, to see his behavior here is obviously very troubling, and something that, again, is dealt with in rabbinic literature and in post-rabbinic literature all the way until modern times in a variety of ways. And again, at the end of the next chapter, I will direct the interested reader to some readings in that regard. And in any case, everyone should have a wonderful day. We will pick up with Perek Yud Bet, the chastisement of David, in the next podcast.